Hey, y'all. It's Lark.
And Kim.
From Kudzu Killers, Homicide and Sweet Tea. And we're pleased to announce our brand new show, Two Chicks and a Crucifix.
We're going to have a good time yakking about paranormal phenomena like ghosts.
And monsters and conspiracy theories.
And Bigfoot.
Bigfoot.
You know I'm partial to Bigfoot.
Right. Anyway, we hope you come listen to our new paranormal show and have some fun.
In 2021. See, I'm a poet and I didn't know it.
Stop it.
You'll be the ghostest with the mostest.
Cut it out.
We love parapsychology and cryptozoology.
Is Lark and Kim. Welcome back to Kudzu Killers. It is 2021 and we are kicking off with some pretty interesting news stories. So, hey Kim.
Hey.
How's your week?
Oh, well, you know. I still haven't taken down the Christmas tree. The guy still hasn't come down to take the lights off of the house. And so, you know, we're still kind of wallowing in Christmas stuff, which I don't like at this point.
But that's totally okay, because technically it was only yesterday was the 12th night, which is Epiphany, which for those of us who absolutely adore New Orleans, etc., it kicks off Mardi Gras season. So,
well, I like to have all my stuff down by Epiphany, but I ordered some little storage unit things and they haven't come yet. Well, so I've taken down what I can. And, you know, the rest is sitting there drooping.
Well, see, I just never put anything up. So there you go. So on that note, I leave that up to my mom. And on the mommy note, we are going to talk about something very, very sad today, but also it's probably gonna outrage you guys. So I was outraged. Kim will be outraged because I didn't tell her I wanted it to be a surprise. So, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay, so I want to say right up front that this story involves a lot of triggers, a lot of hot buttons. It involves suicide, gross, sadly gross, medical mutilation, experiments on children.
Oh, no.
Sexual abuse of children. And gender theory.
Okay.
Now, you know how we talk a lot about these serial killers whose mommies were so degrading and humiliating and dressing them like girls or shaming them for their budding sexuality, for literally not being girls. Like, you know, Ed Gein, Ed Kemper, Jerry Brudas, who we've done shows on, just to name a few. And how you and I are always talking about nature versus nurture. I'm real conscious of that dynamic. But I stumbled across something I thought that just really took this question to a whole nother level. And I want to say up front, this is got to have some cringe factor involved. And while I truly don't look for penis stories, they just fall in my lap, y'all, as it were. So there it is. And this story, y'all really do need to hear. So here we go. This is the story of two male-born twins, Bruce, the oldest, and Brian, second born, on August the 22nd, 1965, in Winnipeg, Manitoba, to Janet and Ron Reimer, a Mennonite couple who were thrilled at their children's birth. Two perfect baby boys. Let me say that again. Perfect baby boys.
Okay.
At 6 months old, the boys were diagnosed with something called phimosis, which is basically an overgrowth of the foreskin that causes difficulty with urination. So foreskin of their penis.
Okay.
So when he was 7 months old, baby Bruce and his twin brother Brian went to the doctor to get circumcised to treat the phimosis. Now, what should have been an ordinary and commonplace procedure somehow went tragically wrong.
Oh, no.
Yeah. General practitioner Dr. Jean-Marie Hout had opted for an electrocautery needle, considered an inappropriate choice and unconventional for the procedure, rather than what's used traditionally, which is just a blade, a scalpel. And in a horrifying accident, the doctor burned off the majority of Bruce's penis.
Oh, no. Poor baby.
Oh, I can't even imagine. So Janet, his mama, stated, it was like a little burnt piece of string right up to the crotch was burnt off. I said, oh, my God, what are we going to do now? Boys put such great store in their penises, and he doesn't have one. Poor mom. I just totally feel for her.
Well, I mean, yeah. What were you going to do?
I really feel for her, man. I mean,
when she put this baby through this, I mean, it's got to be some measure of guilt feeling on her part, even though it wasn't her.
Oh, absolutely. That's what I was going to say, that both the boys' parents had a lot of guilt throughout the entire process and the entire story that I'm going to tell you. Because, you know, they went along because they trusted the almighty God of the doctor.
Right.
Okay. Well, first of all, okay, this is the first doctor. This was the doctor that did the surgery. So he was just the GP. Now we're going to move on to the next doctor that they really trusted. And it just, you know, again, this goes back to what Kim and I have talked about before. Please do your homework about doctors. Don't just blindly walk in. So after they did the surgery on Bruce, the doctors chose not to operate on Brian, whose phimosis soon cleared up without surgery at all.
Oh, no. Oh, jeez.
Yeah. Now, they did a lot of weird stuff back then, as you would probably imagine. But in February 1967, the boys are 2 years old at this point. Well, Janet happened to be watching TV and saw a Dr. John Money being interviewed on the Canadian news program, This Hour Has 7 Days, during which he discussed his theories about gender. Now, also, a few weeks prior to the interview, John Hopkins Hospital in Baltimore announced that it was opening a gender identity clinic expressly for people who wanted to change their sex. Keep in mind, this is 1967.
Yeah.
Janet thought Money was very charismatic and he seemed highly intelligent and very confident of what he was saying. And on the program, Dr. Money had brought a transsexual with him, a man who had been changed into a woman. The transsexual made an impact on Bruce's mom, because to her, she was very feminine. She was, you know, a very feminine seeming woman. And Janet thought, oh, wow, here's our answer. Here's our salvation. He's our hope.
Mm-hmm.
She was all excited. And she wrote to Dr. Mooney after the show ended, and he immediately responded. And when they met, Dr. Mooney suggested that they could turn their baby son into a baby girl. So it looked as if Ron and Janet had solved their problem.
Yeah, right.
But okay. It wasn't just that Dr. Money was the answer to their prayers. They were the answer to his.
Yeah, I'll bet they were.
Yeah, and here's why. Dr. Money had developed a radical new theory about nature versus nurture and how these twin forces affect whether we think of ourselves as a girl or a boy.
And so he wanted to experiment on their twin babies.
Oh, yeah, he did. He thought that while genes are important as far as its gender is concerned, a baby is essentially neutral for the first 2 years of life. Now, remember, they're right at 2 years old. During these critical 2 years, the child's upbringing, how it's nurtured, will determine whether it's masculine or feminine. Dr. Money had developed this theory from his research with hermaphrodites. And I think most of y'all know what that is, but I'm going to say hermaphrodites are people known as intersexed who are physically born as both male and female. Normally they have both male and female genitalia. I don't know how the DNA works out with that, but there it is. But intersex children are not necessarily the same as other children. because they receive a different amount of hormones while they're in the womb. So some argued that Dr. Money's hypothesis might not be true for all children. Well,
Yeah.
I'm thinking in my own brain, I'm not a scientist, but duh. To prove that nurture is more important than nature will require an extraordinary experiment. Dr. Money needed two ordinary boys. One would be raised as a girl and the other would remain a boy.
Mm-hmm.
He now had the perfect opportunity. Here were these sweet little twins. We now have the perfect storm.
Crazy doctor and poor little kids. Yeah.
And a desperate parents. They wanted.
And desperate parents.
They
yeah,
wanted to do the right thing. They weren't just offering the babies up because they were embarrassed. I mean, to be honest, she was worried about her child not having a normal life. She just wanted to do the mm-hmm. right thing. So right. I don't see a lot of fault with the parents. They were trying really hard. So this was Money's opportunity to apply what was learned about intersex children to a child who was not intersexed at birth, but who had a traumatic loss of a major viable contribution to whether you're a male or a female, your penis. So on July the 3rd, 1967, when Bruce was almost two, he was castrated by a surgeon at Johns Hopkins Medical Hospital. So without mm-hmm. his testicles, Bruce could no longer produce male hormones.
Right.
Physicians constructed a vestigial vulva and a vaginal canal in their place. They also opened a small hole in his lower abdomen for urination.
Oh, geez, Louise.
So that leads me to think about all kinds of problems from
yes,
even that,
you
know.
Of course.
Later.
This is insane.
Oh, it gets worse. Later, he received estrogen during his adolescence to promote the development of breasts.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Money suggests to the parents to change Bruce's name to Brenda and dress her as a girl.
Well, I mean, what are you going to do? I mean, you're going to have to do something like that at this point, I would think.
Well, they started the ball rolling when they made the decision to make him a girl. But yeah, right. Go ahead and dress him as a girl.
Yeah.
Help the rest of the facade work out, I guess. But Money gave Janet and Ron very strict instructions. And this is the part that I kind of am feeling, I'm not sure. I feel like it's the point where he starts to think about both sides, covering his own,
mm-hmm.
his
covering
own
his ass.
Butt, as well as, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He says that if they ever reveal the truth to their daughter, that the sex change would fail. Now, doesn't that sound threatening to you?
It does. And it sounds like he knew he'd screwed up big time and he was just trying to, you know, make sure they never talked about it so nobody would ever know about it.
Well, at this point, he wasn't really sure it was going to work. So he was just covering his butt is what I think, you know.
Right.
And,
probably. Yeah.
You know, his main advice to them was don't let her think she was ever a boy. Keep it a secret.
Well, she's going to find out she doesn't have a uterus and ovaries at some point, I would think.
Well, you know.
Not going to have a period.
Well, yeah. Well, back then, you know, I feel like, you know, back then, we can speak to this because we were back then. That doctors didn't tell us anything. They didn't want us to know. They'd say, yeah, you're fine and pat you on the butt. No, you'll never be able to have children. Well, they don't necessarily tell you why, right?
Right, yeah.
You know, don't
Unless
challenge me. Well, don't, even then, don't challenge the doctor. God forbid you ask him, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
So anyway, Money's controversial investigation, which he called the John/Joan case, provided mm-hmm. results that were used to justify thousands of sex reassignment surgeries for cases of children with reproductive abnormalities.
Okay.
I mean, just think, who knows if maybe a little boy's penis was just crooked or something. Big deal, right?
Right. Well, obviously this was they jumped the gun to do something about a medical condition because the doctor, I guess, told them to. And
then it got worse and it got
then
worse.
It got,
and
worse
it got
worse and
worse.
Yeah. Just snowballed. Yeah.
So not only was it horrible for Bruce, later he's called David. So if I use the name David, that's who I mean. this logic has continued to be pushed.
Right.
Now, at 7 years old, Dr. Mooney tried to persuade Brenda to have another sex operation. Now, she didn't want that and didn't understand why she would need to. And all this time, the parents kept dragging the kids, both of them, to see the doctor for quote-unquote therapy, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So
he's sounding a lot like, was it Mengele?
Well, it is money, right? I mean, I just thought a lot of the words were ironic, but... So again, Money was growing concerned that the experiment wasn't working and that she wasn't acting like a girl either. And
well, some, yeah. Yeah, she's
some,
not.
Yeah. And some argue that Dr. Money published only the positive results to make it look like his theory was true. Well, yeah, he was basically afraid his experiment was a flop and he was going to be busted because, you know,
mm-hmm.
this is pretty much doomed to fail, really and truly. Yeah. Also, because he just recently announced to the world how successful his theory was that if a boy is given the correct upbringing, could be turned into a girl. And his book is called Man and Boy, Woman and Girl. Okay. This book was being reviewed all over the world, and Dr. Money's idea was becoming known as the theory of gender neutrality. So, I mean, he was terrified of being outed as a fraud. So his next step was he resorted to taking pictures of the boys.
Oh, great.
Nude pictures.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Kitty porn. Yeah.
So both the boys say that he forced them to take their clothes off and photograph them naked. And then, and y'all, this gets kind of explicit here. So if you don't want to hear these details, you might want to fast forward a little bit. So the little boys went in together a lot, but they also went in separately. And during the twins' psychiatric visits with Money, as part of his quote-unquote research, David, Brenda at the time, and his twin brother, Brian, were directed to inspect one another's genitals and engage in behavior resembling sexual intercourse while they
incest.
Are naked. Well, yeah. Oh my God, not even incest. They're children. They're 7 years old.
Well, I know that, but I'm just saying he forced them into incest and he forced them to, yeah.
Oh, well, yeah.
Do sexual things.
They're children. I mean, this is kiddie porn. This is pedophilia. Are you getting off on it? Who knows? I mean, his payoff was that he was getting worldwide acclaim.
Right.
So David claimed that much of Money's treatment involved the forced reenactment of sexual positions, not just getting in the positions, but the motions with his brother. And in some of these exercises, the brothers rehearsed missionary positions with thrusting motions, which Money justified as the rehearsal of healthy childhood sexual exploration. BFD, are you kidding me? Oh my God.
Yeah, he was a sicko, pervert.
Oh, exactly. David said that Money forced the twins to rehearse sexual acts involving, quote, thrusting movements, unquote, while David played the bottom role. He also said that as a child, he had to get down on, quote, down on all fours, unquote, with his brother Brian, quote, up behind his butt, unquote, with his crotch against his butt, unquote. David said that Money forced him in another sexual position to have his legs spread with Brian on top. So basically he was just makes me nauseous, really.
And the parents knew nothing about this. The kids didn't tell the parents at the time what was going on.
No, they didn't. They really didn't. I think
they were probably told if you do this, your parents are going to be very mad at you.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's all the stuff that they would that a pedophile would tell. You don't tell. Mm-hmm. They're going to die if you tell.
Yeah.
You're going to die.
I don't doubt it.
All that horrible stuff.
I don't doubt it.
So in an interview with Rolling Stone, David recalled that Money photographed all those exercises, and he also kept making the brothers inspect each other's pubic areas. Another thing he said was, not only did he do this, that he had as many as 6 different colleagues come in and join him and watch. Now, you know, we would judge this very differently in this day and age.
Yeah, yeah, we would.
So
this would be, yeah.
Well, even then, this is not on.
Well, back then, if people knew it was going on.
Right. Right. But kids respect, back then, and I hate to be ugly, but kids respected older people just for the fact that they were bigger, I'm assuming. But they respected them. And if somebody older than you shouted at you or said, don't do that, normally you wouldn't do it. So,
well, and kids back then were taught to respect your elders, do what they tell you to do. They know the right thing to do. And
right, exactly.
But and that's a good thing about today, is because parents are teaching their kids, it's not okay to touch you.
Right.
You need to tell us if that happens. It's not okay for them to do this and that. Not, you know.
It's okay to stand up to an adult.
Yes.
It's not okay to be disrespectful, but it's okay to stand up when they're crossing the line. And that's where it comes down to the parents to teach
right
what the line is. So David remembers the anger and the verbal abuse from Money if he or his brother resisted the order. So there it is right there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right there. In contrast to the calm and scientific demeanor that he presented to their parents. Right.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Now, here's another thing. These pictures were sent to the Kinsey Institute and locked away.
Of course they were.
Uh-huh, and they're locked away in their archives, never to be released. So the Kinsey people won't let them loose. Now, if y'all don't know about the Kinsey Institute, you need to
check. I would sue the Kinsey Institute and tell them to give me my pictures of my sons back, because that's not okay. It's what
well,
I would have done.
I hesitate to say this, but the parents were a little meek, okay?
Okay.
You know.
I get you. I'm not. So it's hard for me to relate.
I know. I would be finding every which way to, you know, scorch the earth, because that's how I am. But again, it was a different time. And so anyway, if y'all don't know what the Kinsey Institute is, I want you to check it out for more twisted details on sexual deviant attempts at therapy.
And there's a good movie with Liam Neeson. Mm-hmm. And a few other well-known
I think
people.
Laura Dern's in it.
There's a bunch of people in it.
But anyway, it's it's a good movie, but if you really go into it...
It's a little,
You know, I don't even know what to say. But anyway, the short version of this is that the Institute and Kinsey himself have been the subject of a lot of controversy due to questionable sexual therapies under the guise of experiments and research. So that said, let's go back to David. And even at a very young age, he thought Money was perverted and a sick man. Just like you said, he stated in interviews that his parents didn't know what was even going on.
Yeah, I'm sure they didn't.
Because if they did know, he said it would have never happened. They'd have put a stop to it. Now, prosecuting him is a different matter. I don't know if they would or they wouldn't. I can't speak to that. So the family were unaware that Money was triumphantly describing their daughter's sex change as a success. But real life reality was different. For the family, Brenda was behaving in a distinctively masculine manner and kind of pushing back. Yeah.
Right.
In David's own words, I had a toy sewing machine and I had Barbie dolls. I had girls' clothes, but my brother was very generous. There was the odd day when he would let me borrow his toys and we'd play together because he knew how unhappy that I was.
And they still had no clue at this point that he was a born a boy. The kids didn't at this point.
No, the kids didn't know.
Okay.
Mm-mm, no. So he said he let him play with the cars and the trucks, and that's where he felt comfortable. So when Brenda was 7 years old, Money was still trying to force the data to fit his theory. He just wasn't about to let this go and do the actual scientific thing, which would be like, let the data prove the theory one way or the other. Just the facts, right?
Right. Yeah.
So to try and make Brenda understand that she was a girl... Even beyond all the sexual activity forced on them, Dr. Money showed her a book called Two Births. And in this, it contained explicit photographs of women giving birth. Mm-hmm. And it was clearly shocking for him as a young child, her as
a
young
child.
So with Brenda still resisting her female gender, he had to up the ante and he had to adopt a more extreme approach.
Mm, I'm afraid.
So... More extreme than simulated sex with his brother, can you imagine?
Mm.
But here goes. So he thought that the only way he could make Brenda accept a feminine identity would be if her rudimentary vulva looked more like a normal girl's genitalia. So
more surgery.
Yeah. He tried to persuade her to have a vagina constructed.
Because they didn't do that?
Well, it was sort of, but you know, she was a baby.
Right.
I don't know the pronouns at this point. I'm getting confused. But at the time, you know, So they want something that looks more like, I guess, a real girl, a woman, a mature, I'm saying a mature woman, not a. So mostly by berating her and screaming at her in these quote unquote therapy sessions until finally, you know, Brenda was clearly uncomfortable with the idea of having surgery and continued to resist.
Right.
This point is just appalling to me. The notion of stopping this horrific experiment never entered this narcissistic man's mind.
Well, of course not, because he would be wrong then.
He was bound and determined to be right. There was just no limit to what he was willing to do to this child to prove his point. Yeah, to prove his theory was working. He wasn't about to fail. So how much more could he mutilate this child's body to prove his point? But Brenda was still refusing to have the surgery. Good on you.
Good for her.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. But at the same time, I know, we're not trying to be rude, y'all. It's just confusing.
I'm confused, so.
Well, yeah, it's hard to keep straight. It's not like, this wasn't his choice.
Exactly. Yeah.
If this was his choice, we would go with...
That's another thing, yeah.
Right. If this was his choice, we would go with whatever pronoun he wants.
Exactly, fine. Yeah.
But this wasn't his choice, so... So when I say she or he, I don't mean no disrespect. So anyway, Brenda had become increasingly masculine looking, right?
Mm-hmm.
She'd get a little 5 o'clock shadow there. Yeah. You know?
Yeah, because testicles don't determine everything.
Right. Oh, well, now, she was at some point put on estrogen, remember, but I don't know. Her poor little body was whacked out, okay?
Maybe she stopped taking it.
Yeah, so, I mean, yeah.
So screw you, I'm not taking this anymore.
Well, exactly. So by 1978, Brenda was almost 13 years old. And in one of these sessions, he had kind of coerced her into saying, well, what year would you think you want to have this surgery? And she had spit out 13. She just spit out a number, right? So this was the year of the proposed surgery.
Mm-hmm.
And he made one last attempt to persuade her to have a vagina constructed. So what he did was in his last session with her, he enlisted the help of a transsexual. Okay, so he thought that when Brenda saw someone who had voluntarily submitted to a genital operation, that she'd be willing to have the surgery too.
And this is 1978, yes, at this point. So
1978, yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So we've
had Rene Richards, I guess, by this point, you know, the tennis player and stuff. So
right. So some experts think that this was actually a reasonable course of action to kind of, you know, get her to come around to it, right?
Mm-hmm.
But this approach backfired catastrophically. Brenda ran out of that therapy session. She told her parents that she would kill herself if she ever had to see him again.
Good for her.
And in his exact words were, it got so bad where I would end up having like a breakdown. I'd shake like a baby and cry and huddle in a corner. And I didn't know why I was acting like that.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Mooney had stressed that for Brenda's realignment to work, that she must never be told about her real identity, remember?
Right. Mm-hmm.
But finally, faced with suicidal 13-year-old, Brenda's parents decided to tell her and her brother Brian the truth. So Ron, Daddy, took Brenda for ice cream and told her who she really was. Now for Brenda, this was the first time in her life she started to feel happy. She immediately said, well, yeah.
Well, I mean, all of these feelings
are validated.
Yeah, they're validated. You know you had the right feelings. So yeah,
right.
I can see that.
Right. So she immediately said, I want to be a boy and I want to be renamed David.
Good.
Immediately. And the parents said, okay, great. Moving forward.
Good.
So Mom, on the other hand, told Brian, and he did not take the news well at all. In fact, he was extremely upset and lashed out.
Uh-oh.
Oh, gosh. His parents put it off to his now discovering he wasn't the only son. But I think, and you know, we always say, well, I'm not a shrink. But I think that this poor boy was traumatized by the fact that not only he had been forced to simulate sexual acts and be photographed doing them with his sister, but now it dawns on him that he had been forced
him
to do it with his brother. Exactly.
Exactly. Yeah.
I mean, how much can this mess up a 13-year-old adolescent mind?
Right.
Oh my goodness gracious. That's my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, David was fast forwarding. I'm out of here with the dresses. He decides to undergo painful surgery to create a new penis, including testosterone injections and a double mastectomy.
Oh, jeez.
Because at this point, he has boobies.
Mm-hmm. And he can't, yeah.
Uh-huh. So David went through a dark time after his male reassignment surgeries, thinking that he would never be able to get married. And those dark thoughts really kind of led him eventually to attempt suicide twice in his early
20s. Of course it did.
Twice. Yeah. Now, he received compensation for the botched circumcision.
And he should receive compensation for the insane pedophile that became his psychologist / experimenter.
Well, too. I completely agree, but there was no information on that. So he did try to find hope for the future and possibly marriage and a family. So he was trying to be optimistic. But since he'd been castrated, David couldn't have children of his own. So then his twin, Brian's wife, had an idea. She introduced him to a girl called Jane, who already had 3 children, but no partner. And they really hit it off. So on the 22nd of September in 1990, David married Jane Fontaine.
Okay.
Now, he was still desperately trying to have a normal life.
Mm-hmm.
His wife, Jane, actually said he was a great father and a wonderful husband, that he was very romantic, and that they would leave love letters for each other hidden throughout the house. I know.
That's sweet.
It is. And that they had a lot of good times together. And he really thought of the children as his own. You know, he called one of them my son and was very protective of him. And so he acknowledged that they were his children, you know.
Right.
So while you'd think that at this point, maybe everything is sunshine and roses and David is going to live his life happily into the sunset. But his relationship with his brother Brian had been strained since they were told they were both boys. Because remember, everything kind of hit the fan when they were 13. That's a pretty formative time.
Well, yeah, it's when everything, all your hormones are going insane and you're, you know, I can't even attempt to imagine.
Mm-hmm. So for Brian, this was also the beginning of mental disturbance that developed into schizophrenia.
Oh.
I mean, poor man, poor child, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then something terrible happened to rock the boys' worlds once again and continued to throw fuel on both their mental stability. And this is when David discovered that Dr. Mooney had continued to publicize his case study of the twins as a success.
Uh-oh.
Proof that you could raise a boy as a girl. And this, like, totally freaked both of them out.
Of course it did. Those pictures are floating out there still, and they know that.
Right. So 3 decades after this misguided experiment began to prevent others from being traumatized in the same way, David persuaded Brian to go public with him and speak about their ordeal. Now, that's a pretty big ask in my opinion.
Yeah, that's a pretty big request to your brother. Yeah,
Well, their case came to international attention in 1997 when he told his story to Dr. Milton Diamond, who was an academic sexologist who persuaded the boys to allow him to report the outcome in order to dissuade physicians from treating other infants the same way.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
So Dr. Diamond is really our hero here. Soon after, David went public with his story, and John Colapinto published a widely disseminated and influential account in the Rolling Stone magazine in December 1997. Now, David also guested on the Oprah show in 2000. I saw little clips of that. And oddly enough, I'm going to tell y'all, he kind of looks like a little rough Tom Cruise.
Really?
Yeah. You know where Tom Cruise is kind of polished? He's a little rough on the edges.
He's Tom Cruise in Taps.
He's cute.
The Outsiders instead of Tom Cruise in Mission Impossible, basically.
Yeah, he's cute, you know.
Before he had his teeth fixed.
his teeth are definitely not fixed as far as the Oprah show goes. But anyways, and there's also a bunch of different things that have taken off from this sad situation. There's an episode on Law & Order SVU titled Identity about this case, if y'all want to have the light version of it. But once the documentary was broadcast, Brian kind of lost his mind. His mental health just, you know, deteriorated and took a huge dive. And on July the 1st, 2002, Brian was found dead in his home.
Oh.
And it's not clear whether his death was due to an accidental overdose or intentional suicide.
I bet it was suicide, and that doctor should be held accountable for it.
Oh, I believe it's suicide. Well, it was clear that Brian couldn't get over these therapy sessions that he forced on him. You know, specifically all the sexual aspects, the positions of the sex, the taking pictures, the simulated sex. I mean, even at 7 years old, Brian stated that he had felt that this felt degrading.
Right.
And that he knew that it was wrong at the time. And he couldn't get past the shame of the abuse. And, you know, so here we are. He's taken his life. When this happens in 2002, David's life starts to spiral out of control because of the suicide of his brother.
Mm-hmm.
And he grieved so deeply that the grief started to affect other parts of his life. Because remember, you know, they're also twins and there is that.
There's that bond.
Yeah, there is that feeling that people describe. I'm not a twin, but, you know, I can't even imagine the layers.
That they're not whole.
The layers of sadness and just. I want to just say agony, these poor boys. So on top of the grief, he made a really bad investment where whoever he invested with, the man absconded with all of the settlement money that he'd gotten for the botched circumcision. So now he's without money. He couldn't find a job. He was 38 years old. I mean, he's going to hire a semi-skilled worker with a very kind of, people know who he is at this point, right?
Right.
And he'd previously worked at a slaughterhouse, but he couldn't find work again. So finally, all these problems are, like you say, snowballing, and they begin to affect his marriage, and his wife leaves him, which I think is kind of low, but I also...
Well, we don't know what circumstances or what was going on at home to get her to leave him. I mean, you know, they've been together years, so I would think it'd have to be something pretty bad.
Well, suddenly the money's gone.
Well, that's true. Yeah.
And who knows? I mean, I can only speculate, but it's very difficult to live with someone who has a mental depression or ongoing. I mean, who knows? I'm just speculating, right? But anyway, so on May the 4th, 2004, which is 2 years later, 38-year-old David left his parents' home for the last time. He drove to a grocery store parking lot with a sawed-off shotgun.
Oh, no.
And he blew his head off.
Oh, no.
His mother believes that if it hadn't been for the experiment, that David might still be alive today.
And I think she's probably extremely right.
I completely agree. They'd both be, they would probably be living happy lives, just like regular folks. So after David died, there was an outcry because Dr. Mooney had pursued his theory in the face of convincing evidence that the gender assignment had not worked. They felt he had traumatized their sons in childhood to the extent that they both became suicidal as adults. I completely agree.
Yes.
They felt that money was trying to make history and it wasn't working. That his ego pushed him to unethical behavior at the very least. And I completely agree.
Well, yeah, absolutely.
What we do know is that Dr. Mooney's theory that it is possible to raise a boy as a girl does not seem to hold true for most children.
Right.
Nature, as far as gender identity is concerned, cannot be overridden by nurture. Above all, this is a cautionary tale that this is what can happen when science pursues a beautiful theory with no regard for the human cost of it.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of to just leave the story in David's words. In a 2000 interview, David said, "You can never escape the past. I had parts of my body cut away and thrown in a waste paper basket. I've had my mind ripped away. I was told I was a girl. I didn't like dressing like a girl. I didn't like behaving like a girl. I didn't like acting like a girl. I'm not a professor in anything. But you know, you just don't wake up one morning deciding you're a boy or a girl. You just know." So both twins died because of this experiment by a sick psychologist who didn't see the twins as anything more than guinea pigs. And it's really made me heart sick.
It's horrible. Mm-hmm. It's terrible.
Mm-hmm. So
I have no words. As a scientist, this isn't scientific. This was what he wanted to do because he was a perverted asshole.
He wanted to push his own agenda for his own fame and his own ego. And, you know, he mutilated children. Yes. Those boys were like little sacrificial lambs.
Yes, they were.
Yeah, and it just makes
they were.
Me...
And I'm sure those parents punish themselves, if they're still with us, punish themselves every day, every single day for trusting those doctors.
Right. I think the interviews that I saw with the parents, mainly the mama, you know, she was trying to speak her piece about it because she obviously wants to get it out there. But she was also, in my opinion, from her behavior, she looked like she probably had to be really sedated to even do what she needed to do and talk about.
Right.
That's completely my opinion. But it was just that she was so hurt by all of this and traumatized, and just there's just no words for it, really.
Right.
But I thought it was a very interesting story, but a story that needed to be told, especially when, you know,
these right kids now, didn't have the choice.
No,
if an adult has the choice and they choose to be have their gender reassigned because they feel more like a woman than a man or vice versa, that's fine. That's fine. But these little children had no choice. These babies had no choice. It was done to them.
Right, right.
And it turned out it wasn't the right thing to do for them. And it's tragic.
Yeah, tragic. And it wasn't even because, like we were saying with serial killers. I mean, we're lucky these boys didn't turn into serial killers, you know, because their brains were just being pounded on, you know, as well as their bodies. But like we mentioned before, these mothers who were forcing their children because they wanted girls, it was their choice, you know, with Ed Gein and I'm sorry, not Ed Gein, but
Jerry Brudos. Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. I just wanted to do the story because I felt
it needed to be told. Their story needed to be told because a 20-year-old or 23-year-old or 24-year-old, magazine article isn't enough.
Well, there's been a lot of other, you know, Oprah did her thing and several other things.
But still, it's just been 20 years since Oprah, so.
Yeah, it's just.
It needs to be told.
It's just sad. And it was so unnecessary because of somebody's narcissism.
Mm-hmm.
But so.
On that cheerful note.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry, you guys. We try to make you laugh sometime. And I guess to tell you, to make you laugh, we have our new series coming up, which will be on the 18th of January, is our maiden voyage into the unknown. Woo!
The paranormal. The two chicks and a crucifix, y'all.
The paranormal. And Kim, as Kim says, we love, I swear to God, I can't get this out of my mind. She starts saying, remember what you were saying? We love parapsychology, cryptozoology. Ah! Oh my God, I cannot get that out of my head, you evil woman.
I can make a longer song and sing it to you next time.
No. But you guys, I think it's going to be a lot of fun. Y'all will laugh. It's not as heavy duty as what we are doing.
Yeah, we need a break. We do this stuff twice a week. We needed a break from all of this. And we just thought, hey, we like weird stuff. Let's do weird stuff and paranormal stuff and people who think they're, you know, I don't know.
If we can make
Bigfoot.
Oh, God. If we we hope that if we make each other laugh, we can make y'all laugh, too. So please check us out on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. And maybe we might find an Instagram moment.
I'm behind on Instagram. I gotta update Instagram and the blog. I'm so behind. And we are
meanwhile
redoing our Patreon, and hopefully we can launch that again soon. So,
right. So meanwhile, come back and see us for our Kudzu Killers, but come and listen to our exciting stuff for our new show again. It's called Two Chicks and a Crucifix. So you guys, remember what we always say? Don't bury the bodies without us.
Bye-bye, y'all.
Bye, y'all.
That's our episode for this week. Thanks for listening to us, and we hope you join us again every Tuesday for an exciting new episode.
Head on over to our blog at kudzukillerspodcast.blogspot.com and leave a comment or your ideas about the subject this week.
Or follow us on Twitter at kudzukillerspod, and you can shout out to us anytime or send a question for our next Q&A.
Yes, ma'am. And we'd love you forever if you leave us a review on whatever podcast blows you scared at. We'd love to hear what you think of our new show.
If you'd like to become a part of the Kudzu Killers family, hop on over to patreon.com/kudzukillerspodcast and take a look at the goodies you get when you show us some love.
That's right. And if you love our music, check out Jody Jennings Music on Facebook, SoundCloud, or all social media and streaming music platforms.
So until next week,
or if we decide to shoot out a mini episode,
bye y'all.
Bye, y'all.